Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. As it's 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we want to hear from you. What's on your mind today? Let's talk about it right now at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Before we get into the content of our program, I want to issue a correction from our broadcast yesterday. We had a question about the origins of the Bible. How did we get the books of the Bible that we now hold into our hands?
Yeah.
And I made the comment that it came from the Council of Nicaea, which was held in 325 A.D., under the leadership of Constantine. And when it came out of my mouth, I knew immediately that wasn't right. That's actually something that's been circulating, showed up in the Da Vinci Code as just a way to add some skepticism to this Bible, mm-hmm. to cast some doubt on its authority and veracity and power in our lives. But the real canon, the final, emerged at a council that was held in 397 A.D. in the city of Carthage. And that's where the final list of books was put together. Now, they didn't choose. I mean, they didn't sit there and say, hey, we like this one, we don't like this one, we like this one, we don't like this one. They were simply recognizing the books that were authoritative, that really were inspired by God himself. And how did they recognize those? Well, they knew that as far as the New Testament was concerned, that these books were either written by the apostles or commissioned by the apostles. So they were written within a very short time frame after the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. So that was one of the criteria that they used to judge the inspiration of these books. Universality, you know, is what's being written in. Is it applicable anywhere and everywhere to any person? So that was one of the things. And then, does it follow previous revelation? Does it contradict or does it enhance what's been previously revealed? So they just recognized the books that had the power, the authority, the stamp of God's authorship on them. So they weren't choosing, they were just recognizing. And that took place at the Council of Carthage in 397 A.D.
Good history lesson.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. At Nicaea, there was a council, and some very important things emerged from that. And that was kind of the final time where the deity of Christ, that debate was settled. There was a group called the Arians who were putting forth that Jesus was a created being. And it's interesting, that's still alive and well among us today. A recent survey said that like 78% of evangelical Christians who identified themselves as that in this survey agreed to a statement that Jesus was the highest and best of all the created beings.
Yeah.
So this debate that was supposedly settled back in 325 is still being talked about. Folks are still not sure who this Jesus is. Well, from that council came the Nicene Creed, which says that Jesus was God and is God, basically, and became one of us, dwelt among us. That's where the incarnation really became a part of our doctrine and our thought and all of those sort of things. So as far as the Bible is concerned, Council of Carthage in 397 A.D.
Yeah. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. And Bob, thank you for that clarification. I know Richard was in agreement with you when you gave that wrong information yesterday. So I know
that's right.
That both of you repent. So, 844-322-2742. That's the number. If it's the first half of the 3 p.m. Central Time hour, you're hearing the live broadcast, we want to hear from you. 844-322-2742. And friends, if you're struggling every day as you walk through your life in Jesus Christ and wondering what's wrong and why, well, we have good news for you. Bob Christopher struggled in the early years of his life. Well, now, that's not the good news, but the good news is that he revealed the why of his struggle in an excellent book called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And if you'd like to find out why you too are struggling and learn the answer, order your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace today, and you'll come face to face with the truth of how the Christian life is really supposed to work and how you can see your life put on track in the grace of God. You'll find Simple Gospel, Simply Grace at the top of the homepage at basicgospel.net. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, that's Bob Christopher's book, and I hope you'll order yours today. Bob?
Yeah, and as far as that book is concerned, we're getting close to Christmas. It would make a great Christmas
Absolutely.
Gift for people in your family. And I think it would be a great gift for someone that's in high school, someone in college, maybe somebody in their 20s, early 30s. Mm-hmm. That's where most of this story takes place as far as my journey is concerned. That's where things really got out of sorts for me. But then that's when things got brought back together in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So I think there's many people of that age group that would identify with some of the struggles that I experienced. I'm sure they're going through some of those same struggles right now. So if you have a teenager or someone that's just graduated from college or still in college or somebody that's in their 20s, this would be a great gift for them.
Yeah.
So I encourage you to think through your list, and if anybody fits those age groups, then make Simple Gospel, Simply Grace one of the gifts that you give this year.
Once again, you can find it at basicgospel.net, a prominent link right at the top of the homepage or over on the right-hand side. We hope you'll get a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Well, guys, we have this question from Nan. Do we seek forgiveness and ask for it daily to make sure our relationship with Jesus Christ is okay?
Well, that was a great question. She posed that on our Facebook page yesterday, and I said we're going to get to that today. And it is a very, very important question because so many people, so many Christians are approaching their relationship with God that way. Every time they sin, I better repent of that sin. I better ask God to forgive that sin so that I can be back into right relationship with Him.
Yeah.
Well, we don't find that in the Word of God. We don't find that type of formula, that type of process anywhere in the New Testament. What we see is passage after passage after passage that declares to us that in Christ we are forgiven, that all the forgiveness that we will ever need has already been given to us in Him.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus shed His blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ shed His blood once and for all. And when we receive Him, we receive all that forgiveness that He provided 2,000 years ago. So as believers, we stand before God as forgiven people.
Yeah.
And the great passage, the thing that just really puts the stamp on this and punctuates it just with a huge exclamation mark, is Romans 8:1 that says this: therefore, those who are in Christ, there is now no condemnation for them. So we once were condemned, but now through the blood of Christ and the fact that we are in Christ, there is no longer any condemnation for us. What does that say? It says that all of our sins are forgiven. And then if you want more proof, not only is there no condemnation, we've been declared righteous in the sight of God. So Jesus Christ, the one who knew no sin, became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Now, if our sins weren't forgiven, if there was one sin left unforgiven, the punishment left unpaid, then God could never credit to us and impute to us and impart to us His righteousness. So the fact that He has made us righteous in Christ Jesus is proof positive that all of our sins are forgiven. So if that's the case, it certainly doesn't make any sense to ask and beg and plead for something that we already have in Jesus. Now, here's the final verse to really settle this. It's Ephesians 1:7, and Paul wrote this, in Christ. So that's the issue. Mm-hmm. Are you right. in Christ or out of Christ? And if you're in Christ, you're a believer. The believers have been taken out of the world. They have been placed into Christ. That's where you were. You were once in darkness. Now you're in light. You were once in Adam. Now you're in Christ. In Christ, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of God's grace. So if you're in Christ, you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So there's no need to ask and beg and plead for something that you already have. And if you have been declared righteous in the sight of God, I think you're in pretty good standing as far as your relationship with God is concerned. So this is a critical issue. And once we settle this issue, boy, the Christian life just opens up in new and fresh ways that we never dreamed possible. I mean, we can really enjoy this life that we have in Christ.
Yeah, only God would have thought this solution up. I mean, every human solution to the sin problem just involves working harder, trying more, being more, doing more. God said, I'm going to wipe out sin because I don't want you doing anything with sin management in the rest of your life.
Yeah.
I just want you to focus on me and watch what happens. Like you said, Bob, the life just opens up. It's so huge, you can't even fathom it. And that's the life we get to live in Christ. Don't worry about your sins anymore. Fix your eyes on Jesus and let him do his work.
Right, because Jesus dealt with them once and for all. And now in this new covenant, he says where there's forgiveness of these, there's no longer any sacrifice. And that was preceded by the great promise of the new covenant that God remembers our sins no more. He remembered them 2,000 years ago. And Christ became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. But when that blood was offered to God, he was propitiated, satisfied. It was all done as Jesus cried out from the cross, it is finished.
Yeah.
Now, we need to live our lives based on that truth. It is finished, which means we are forgiven people.
I think it means it is finished.
Yes, it does.
As Bob said, Nan's question came to us through one of our social media platforms, Facebook, as a matter of fact, and that's a great way to get your question to us as well, in addition to the others. And as a matter of fact, we stream live video every day of the program, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Central Time on Facebook and YouTube, and we would love you to participate in that as well. Someone else who used the social media platform to get a question to us was Lindsay. Lindsay says, James 1:3 deals with testing of our faith, and she would like to know what that actually means. What would it look like, the testing of our faith?
Well, it's just called life. This world that we live in tests us all the time. We have adverse circumstances that come our way almost daily. They're like waves coming to the shore. That's what life is, these trials and tribulations. And every single one of them test our faith. Yeah. And as we go through those trials, we're going to see this faith, this dependence, this reliance on Jesus maturing. Now, it doesn't necessarily get bigger and that sort of thing. It's just that our understanding of who Jesus is and the sufficiency of his grace is in all of these situations becomes bigger and bigger in our minds. And so we see this maturing of the faith. That's why James says, count it all joy. Mm-hmm. So God isn't up there saying, hey, oh, Richard, he's been kind of slacking, and I need to test him a little bit. I need to test his loyalty to me. I need to test his love for me. I need to test his faith in me. So I'm going to send some type of adverse circumstances to see how he does. And at the end of it, I'm going to grade him. Mm. Well, God doesn't do that.
No.
So it's not God that is authoring these tests. He's not up there creating these things. It's just life. It's just the world that we live in. It is a world that is anti-God, anti-Jesus. It's a world that operates in a completely different realm as the grace of God. So we're living as children of God in this place, in this world. And so we're going to be confronted with all sorts of things, and all of those things become a test of our faith. But in it, God is going to work some incredible things in and through us, and we're going to see the maturing of our faith.
Yeah, this word testing is really an important word, because there are two words for test in the New Testament. One of them has to do with what Satan does, which is try to get us to fall.
Yeah.
This word is taken from metallurgy, where you test a metal to demonstrate that it's pure. And so what God is using these trials and tribulations for is to demonstrate to us. He's trying to convince us that our faith is pure. Therefore, we can bear up under the circumstances. We can be steadfast. But he's the one who's convincing us that our faith is pure. We're not trying to convince him that we still earn it.
Yeah, it would be, and many people are struggling with this because they think God is always testing them, and at the end of it, they don't measure up. Mm-hmm. And so they have a really poor self-image, and they have a poor understanding of who God is.
Yeah.
And so you think, well, maybe I'll do a little better the next time. And so what do I need to do? So I'm gonna get in the Word more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to go to church more. And then another trial or tribulation comes, and at the end of it, you think you failed again.
Yeah.
And so you finally come to the point and think, man, God just must be disgusted with me. I mean, I'm living with an F grade, and I just don't know that I can ever even turn it into a D, and much less a C. And there's just no way I'm ever going to get an A. So you just think God is just horribly disappointed with you. And that's not truth. So you're letting your failures write the narrative of God's story. And you need to look at Jesus. You need to look at his grace, his mercy, his love, his forgiveness, and let that be the very things that write the story of God. Yeah. And when you do, then you're going to see all these trials and tribulations, these testings that come your way, from a completely different perspective, and you will be able to do what James says, count it all joy.
Yes, indeed. Well, Lindsay, thank you for your question. Well, the results are still being totaled, but again, thanks to everyone who stepped forward on Giving Tuesday in support of Basic Gospel, and just want to let you know that until tomorrow, Friday, of course, we have a copy of Bob Christopher's excellent message called Everything You Need for Life and Godliness, and that's just to say thank you for your gift during this month of November, and of course, as I say, that ends tomorrow, but you'll find the various ways to make your donation and request your copy when you visit basicgospel.net, or in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. Friends, let's keep up the momentum, and our deepest thanks to those of you who give in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a love gift, and we love this message of grace. We love being here, and we love to have your support, so thank you for that. Okay, final question. Well, not a final question, but another question that came in through social media. This is from Joyce, and she says, help. I need your prayers. So sad inside, lonely, not in a good place. I feel in a dark pit. Yes, I'm praying and looking in his word, but still stuck. Please help. That's from Joyce, who wrote to us through Facebook.
Well, that's a terrible place to be.
Yes.
And Joyce, our hearts go out to you, and certainly we're praying for you. But the sadness of her story is multiplied time and time again with people all around this country and around the world. There's a lot of people that are feeling that sadness, that pit deep inside of them, that darkness in their souls. And they're looking for a way out. And the way out really is going to come through the grace of God. Now, what most people wish in that situation is that a magic wand could be waved over them, and that all of that pain and that darkness would just immediately go away. Now, that's not going to be the case, because your emotions have been trained to respond in that negative way, Maybe you've been looking at life circumstances and just how bad they are. And maybe you've been looking at some hurtful things that have happened to you. And as you've looked at those and as you have focused on those, your emotions naturally respond. And after a time, that's just kind of your emotional state. So your emotions aren't going to change overnight. That's why you almost have to put those emotions on the back burner and say, I'm just going to concentrate on truth. What is truth? And a lot of times it gets down to this identity. Do I really believe that I am a child of God? Do I really believe that I have a new identity in Christ? Now, I've seen people time and time again, they know the scriptures, they can quote just numerous verses, they understand the grace of God, the doctrine of the grace of God, they know the passages that deal with the grace of God, but yet, as far as their identity is concerned, they still look to something in the past as the very thing that defines them. That sin that they committed.
Done to them.
That's right. And so they believe that they are that person. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you break free from that? Well, you have to recognize that Jesus broke you free from that.
Yeah.
So that old you died in Jesus Christ. And it was raised, the new you was raised with a brand new identity. So you have to look at that and say, hey, that old me is not here anymore. That old me died in Jesus. And now I've come to life in Jesus with a brand new identity. And so, Lord, I'm going to thank you for this identity. Now, while we hold on to those old identities, you know, there's all kinds of reasons and motivations for that. But we oftentimes hold on to them in secret and say, hey, that's what I'm really like. And we go around in life so fearful that people are going to find out who we really are. Well, Jesus has already seen it. He's already taken that away from you. He took that sin upon himself, and he died in your place so that you could be made the righteousness of God. So that's the truth. That's what we have to concentrate on. And our response to that needs to be a response of thankfulness, of saying, hey, Lord, I don't feel this way, but I know this is true. And so from this day forward, I'm going to thank you. And as you live in that thankfulness, and that's an expression of faith, as you live in that thankfulness, you'll start seeing the emotions change. But it doesn't happen overnight. It happens over time. So allow this truth to engage with your mind, to engage with just the whole of who you are, and you will see it start working itself out in a way that delivers you, that brings you freedom to the soul. And that's what you're looking for. You're looking for a way out of that pit of darkness. Well, truth, the light of Jesus Christ, is the way out. And you get on that pathway as you begin to say thank you for what he's accomplished for you through his death, burial, and resurrection.
Is there another way that we can reach out to Joyce? Perhaps, Joyce, if you're listening, call 844-322-2742 and leave your name and address, and we would like to send you some materials. Again, 844-322-2742 that will help you in this difficult journey that you're going through right now. And so we hope to hear from you. And we're glad to hear from all of our listeners who pose questions to us, and we hope you'll do so over the long weekend upcoming. Well, thanks for being with us today, everybody. And please remember Basic Gospel and your giving to support the work of Christ Jesus. Be sure to make your November gift by tomorrow, and we'll send you a copy of Bob Christopher's excellent message, Everything You Need for Life and Godliness. And you'll find all the ways to make your gift and request your copy when you visit basicgospel.net. In Canada, you can make your gift at basicgospel.net/Canada. Keep in mind, too, that you can get a question to us through our Facebook or YouTube channels, and you can also call the 24-hour listener line, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742, or drop an email to Bob at basicgospel.net. Any way is a good way, and we'll address your question on the air at Basic Gospel. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again tomorrow as we continue in that excellent series through 1 John. It's a great series, lots of wonderful insights. I hope you can join us. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.